Abortion is not about politics. Abortion is not about rights. Abortion is not even about science and technology or health and quality of life. Abortion is ultimately about God.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Marvelous by Dr. Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Sometime back, I was on Twitter when a statement caught my attention. Why does abortion always has to become the main issue? Why do people make such a big deal about abortion? There are so many other critical issues out there, like the economy, terrorism, so many other issues. Why do we keep making abortion such a big deal? Now, if the person didn't have the profile, it seemed like they were evangelicals, I would not have thought anything of it. And so I kind of looked at it, and maybe this person is not who they say they are. Maybe they've lost their moral compass. So I just kind of dismissed their statement and moved on until I saw another statement, very similar. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but this one said something abortion is often used as the trump card. Now, no pun intended there. It's often used as a trump card to get voters to abandon all other issues and vote a certain way. And again, I paid attention to this person's profile, and I said, why in the world would you say that? How can a person who has convictions about the Word of God and about who God is and how He is the author of life, why would they say something like this? I'll tell you why. Because the further we get away from the biblical foundation, the further we get away from biblical convictions. What's happening in our nations, and I'm not talking about just the lost people or the liberal or the left, what's happening is even people who are in churches have a very weak view of life. I want to make a statement here that I hope will stay with you, because this message is coming from my heart. We prayed about it. Should we even preach on this? Is it time? And of course, it's Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but we wanted to really pray over this. And here's the statement I want you to remember. Abortion is not about rights. Abortion is not even about science and technology or health and quality of life. Abortion is ultimately about God, because it directly challenges and defies who God says He is and what God says He does when it comes to life. And this morning's message is called Marvelous, and it'll make more sense as we read our scripture passage from Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. David is saying these words. Listen very carefully. For You formed my inward parts. You, he's talking to God, he's addressing God. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You. David says, I will praise You, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes, God, saw my substance being yet unformed. And in Your book, there are books in heaven. There are chronicles in heaven that will dwarf any library, Library of Congress, Harvard, Princeton, Duke, doesn't matter. All the libraries are dwarfed compared to this library in heaven. And what are the books? The books are, in it says here, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. We will look at these statements carefully. The question to us is, do you truly believe that life is a gift? Do you truly believe that you and every child, even the unborn, is fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you believe that God is the author of life and He has the first and the final say, not us? And do you have eternal life? If you don't, today's the day to invite Christ into your life. See, this message will be a whole lot easier for you to swallow if you have a different conviction, if you have Christ in your life. 47 years ago, on January the 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. It's popularly known as Roe versus Wade or Roe v. Wade. Some of you have seen that growing up or heard it in high school or college. On January 9th, 1989, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating that day, which is January 22nd, 1973, as the first Sanctity of Human Life Day. And ever since then, churches all across our land, they celebrate or they recognize, really, this day as that special day. A special day where we give emphasis to God's gift of life. This is a day where we emphasize God's gift of life. We also remember the lives lost due to abortion. And something else, we commit ourselves to speaking out for human life at every stage. We are the voice for those who are voiceless. Unfortunately, the further we get away from biblical foundations, the less and less convictions we have about this value. And this is not a tertiary subject. This is not a secondary subject. This is a primary subject. This is something that is vital for us to believe, especially for our younger generation, because they are the future. They need to continue the fight. And so this morning, with that in mind, let's go back to Psalm 139. It is known as the Psalm of David, which means King David wrote this psalm. Now, David, what do we know about him? He was known as a man after God's own heart, which means what? Here's David's heart, here's God's heart, and they are one. Whatever is on God's heart is on David's heart. Whatever is on David's heart is on God's heart. So when we're reading Psalm 139, it's not just that David is speaking. This is God who is telling us what He believes about the unborn child. Now, I also want you to notice the beautiful language that David uses to describe the creation process. It's just beautiful. Shakespeare, Byron, Wordsworth, they have nothing on David. It's just so rich. It's so beautiful. So let's start in verse 13. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Which means what? David is saying, I am not a product of just a man and a woman, a dad and a mom coming together. I have been made by you, God. This is something very important for us to understand. A married couple can come together in love, or two strangers can hook up in lust, or a person can take advantage of a helpless woman in rape, but ultimately, God is the one who is responsible for life. God is the one who puts life inside the mother's womb. Folks, don't let the world tell you otherwise. You have a choice. Either you can choose the biblical way or you can choose the worldly way. The world says it's just two people hooked up, man, and I don't want the baby. I'm not ready for that. I was not in my right mind. Hey, listen, that's all fine and good, but ultimately life is not your choice. God is the author of life. He holds the copyright on life. What else does David say about God? He goes on to say, "You covered me in my mother's womb." The word cover in Hebrew is the word saked, which is not really cover. It actually means weave. What David is saying here is God, you are the grand weaver who actually knits every child together inside the mother's womb. Hey, listen, it's not just a biochemical process that has taken over between a sperm and an egg and is fertilized, and now we know there's life, something is happening inside. It is a fetus. No. From God's perspective, for every child, anytime life comes in, God is the weaver who begins to put the tissues and the blood vessels and the bone structure, everything. He is the one who's knitting very carefully. Now, that's hard for us to understand. How can one person be in every womb making a child? How is that possible? Because he's God, we're not. Now, I can tell you one thing. Men, we can't multitask. Now, some ladies can multitask. But listen, God at one time can know every blade of grass on the face of this earth. He can know where every sparrow is. And every time one falls to the ground, he is notified. Every hair on your head is numbered. And listen, yes, every time life comes inside a womb, he is the one. God himself comes and begins the knitting process of that child. You have a choice. Either you believe that or you believe it's just chance. David says, "You have weaved me together inside my mother's womb." And it's not over yet. Listen to verse 14. He says, "I will praise you." He launches into a worship time. The creation process of life inside the mother's womb should motivate you, should move you to worship God and say, "God, you are amazing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." You know that word marvelous there means stupendous. It's extraordinary. It cannot be explained. Why? Because God's work is personal. Every child is made by him personally. And next thing is that it's very intricate. Very carefully he does this. Listen to this. Verse 15, "My frame," the word frame there is the word that means the skeletal structure. It may not register on the ultrasound, but God has a much better vision than the ultrasound. Even in that little coming together of life, he can see the spine. He can see the bone structure being formed. That's what David says. Listen again. He says, "My frame, my skeletal structure was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." Now, secret does not mean a secret place. Sether has the idea of a mystery. Means what? Life is a mystery. Scientists can do a lot of stuff, but they cannot create life. I know I've heard people say that. Oh, they made life in a test tube using the materials God has made. Oh, we can clone now. We can clone. There's a clone. There's a sheep. There's persons. Well, using the materials God has made. But they cannot on their own create life. It's not possible. It hasn't happened. It will not happen. Why? Because it's mystery. And something else he says over here. "And skillfully wrought." That's a horrible translation. The word is rekem, which means this. Listen. It means using different colors, textures, and patterns to make a special cloth. Which means this. That every child is unique. Uniquely designed by God. Every child, doesn't matter if they are in America or South America or Europe, Africa, China, Asia, doesn't matter. Every single time life comes inside a womb, it has a unique pattern. No other child exists in the world like that child. Blows my mind. We go around saving all the species that we feel like, which is not that many, by the way, are all, you know, they are going out. And yet there's a child over here. There's no other child like that child ever since the history of the world. And we are like, go and kill it. It's okay. We should be more caring about that life. None like it exists anywhere else. And by the way, it is perfect. Even if the child is born with disabilities. He said, wait a minute. If it's a disability, I mean, you know, the quality of life, you know, how can you justify all the suffering and all of that? Hey, listen, folks, you know why the disabilities are there? Because we live in a broken world. But please don't misunderstand. The package might be damaged, but the product is perfect, even if the packaging might not seem like it. And listen to verse 16. David is still talking to God. He says, God, your eyes saw my substance. The word is golem, which means the embryo. It's not just substance. It's not a fetus. This is David saying, you saw me in the embryonic stage as I was an unfinished vessel. You were watching, which means what? God supervises the entire creation process. He watches very carefully every step of the way. Not over yet. Listen to verse 16. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me. What does that mean, the days fashioned for me? It means that there is a book, there are chronicles in heaven in which God's providential acts for that particular life are listed out. This is the journey. This is the map. This is where this child is going to head. Now, your decisions are in your hands. You can choose God or you can choose the world. You can choose Jesus Christ or you can die in your sins. Your decisions are still in your hands. Of course, God's grace comes to you. But God has already laid out the path. Which means this, there is already a roadmap for that individual person, child. So what do we gather from Psalm 139? According to David, who is a man after God's own heart, which means this is God's view on the unborn life, God holds the copyright of every life. Not a person, not a man, not a woman. God. God makes every child personally. He doesn't send archangels. He himself is involved. It is intricately done. It's a mystery. We can't understand this. It should cause us to praise God, to worship him. What else? It is unique. There is no other child like that child. And it is perfect. Package may be damaged, but the product is perfect. God makes every child, and he supervises the entire process from start to birth. And God gives the roadmap. It's already recorded in heaven of how that life will play out. Abortion goes completely against this list. Abortion is claimed to be about women's right to choose or about population control or about the quality of life. No matter how you support abortion, it ultimately contradicts everything God has said about the unborn life. Why? Because it is philosophically based on an anti-God premise. To understand this, we have to look at the roots of the American abortion movement. How many of y'all heard the name Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger was the first president of Planned Parenthood, which provides the most abortion in the world. Back in 1922, she wrote a book called Pivot of Civilization. It's available. You can Google it. Listen to what she had to say about her reasons for birth control, which means abortion. What were her reasons? Well, regarding the poor, when we learn further that the total number of inmates in public and private institutions in the state of New York, she's kind of wordy, archaic, but you'll get the point. She says, when we learn further that this total number of inmates in these institutions, in almshouses, poor people homes, orphanages, in reformatories, schools for the blind, deaf and mute, praise God for Braille, thank God for sign language, and mute, in insane asylum, it's sad when people have lost their minds. In homes for a feeble-minded and epileptic. She goes on to say that these people, it amounts to practically to less than 65,000, this is 1922, an insignificant number compared to the total population. She says, our eyes should be open to the terrific cost to the community of this dead weight of human waste. Now, what does God say? He says, I make life. I make it personally. I make it intricately. It's a mystery. Every child is unique. Every child is perfect. Every child's process I supervise, and I have already made out the roadmap for their journey in life. Abortion says they're dead weight of human waste. Regarding the poor and disabled, in the same book, she goes on to say that it seems that the most responsible and most intelligent members of society are the less fertile. Means if you're really smart, it's hard for you to have children. She goes on and says that the feeble-minded are the more fertile. So if you're dumb, you keep having kids. Herein lies the, not because you don't know any better, it's because you're just fertile. This is the philosophical underpinning of abortion. She goes on and says, herein lies the unbalance, the great biological menace to the future of civilization. Are we heading to biological destruction, toward the gradual but certain attack upon the stocks of intelligence, which means this, dumb people kids are going to beat up on the intelligent people kids? We got to do something. We got to stop these dumb people from having too many kids. In her magazine, which was called Birth Control Review, she allowed an article to be published by Dr. Ernest Rudin. Ernest Rudin was a Nazi doctor, very involved in the eugenics movement in Germany, and he advocated racial hygiene among the Germans. You know what racial hygiene is? We know what hygiene is. You know, wash your hands, you know, be antibacterial, whatever. Racial hygiene is you begin to clean out the undesirable members of your society, which means you clean out the disabled, you clean out those who have Down syndrome, you clean out those with intellectual disabilities, blind, mute, dumb. This way, you don't have to reproduce them again. Read the history books. It happened in Germany. It didn't start with the gypsies. It didn't start with sending 6 million Jewish people to the gas chambers. It began with their own people, where those who had children, uncles, aunts with these kind of problems. It's online. I don't want to put the photos up on the screen because it dignifies those people. It dignifies those who caused this. So I'm not going to put those pictures up. But children were taken away who had issues and struggles, and parents were told, hey, listen, we're going to try some treatment, and this is going to work. All the time, there was no treatment. And guess what was happening? Those children, those adults with issues were being terminated. And then the families were told, the treatment just didn't work. We could not save them. They knew that their child, their son, their daughter, their uncle, their aunt, their parent, their siblings had just been killed, but nobody could say much. It's coming from Sanger. She approved Hitler's policy of racial cleansing, and Hitler admired her work and said, I love what she's doing. In the 1930s, Sanger began the Negro Project. It started out with handing out contraception and then culminating in promoting abortion to control the race. Folks, I can go on. The point is not that everyone who is pro-abortion today is racist. Please don't misunderstand that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying to you is that the philosophy behind abortion denigrates and devalues human life, especially the weak, the poor, the disabled, and the minorities. That is the philosophical foundation. And all this is put forth as it's a woman's right to choose. It's about population control. It's about the quality of life. But really, it's about getting rid of those who are weak and disabled so we can have a good life. Now, abortion. It tries to steal God's copyright on life. It reduces life to just a biochemical process, because when you call it life or a child, then killing a child is, well, that doesn't sound right, but oh, it's just a fetus. It seeks to praise only self. It denies the beauty of the developmental process. It understands life only through personal and collective convenience. At this stage in my life, that's not going to be good. I'm not going to be a good parent. I have so many things to do. I made a mistake. It rejects the uniqueness of every child, because that one child that has been killed, you don't know what God had designed for that child. For Christianity is much more than, I have Jesus in my heart, I'm going to heaven, I just try to live a good life and give to the church, and yeah, I share the gospel once in a while. Christianity is much more than that. Christianity is where you become Christ in the world. You care for the innocent. You care for the weak. It's not about you. It's about others. What did Jesus say? I didn't come for those who are healthy. I came for those who are sick. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The helpless. That's why Christ came. And abortion destroys God's chronicles of every life. It brutally murders the child before they even have a chance to live out their life. You see, what needs to happen is a fundamental shift in what you believe about life, what you believe about God. How do we respond to a message like this? Maybe you've gone through abortion. As a pastor, I have counseled a lot of people and who have had an abortion, and it's this struggle, especially the more they grow in the Lord, the more they realize, wow, a life was terminated. And maybe you are that person. But the message is not to condemn you. The message is to bring you hope and say, you can find healing. There's healing at the cross, even if you've been through that. Ways to help other people. You speak out. You share your story. You don't have a conviction. You're still not moved. Then ask God to soften your heart and say, God, why is it that this subject doesn't move me? Maybe I've heard too much junk for too long. And I tend to sympathize with, oh, if it's a rape victim, or if it's an intellectually disabled situation, oh, well, maybe, you know, sort of, why doesn't it move me, God? Because I need my heart to move the way your heart moves. In our own family, my sister, the doctors told my parents that it's time to abort her because they could not find certain body parts, and they felt like this is a good time to go and do it because it'll be too traumatic later on to go through the birth. And I praise God for my parents because they chose not to. And my sister came here. Many of y'all had a chance to meet her, fine and healthy. Your children need to know much more than how to play ball and how to get a girlfriend and how to drive and how to do this and how to do that. Your kids need a whole lot more. They need convictions. They need to be able to stand on biblical foundation. Are you teaching your kids? You brag about your kids, and that's wonderful, but do your kids have biblical values? On the day of your funeral, would your kids stand up and say, thank God for that man, thank God for that woman, because they give me values that no one can take away? Will you be the voice for those who don't have one? It's not about a party. It's not about vote this way. But I tell you this, personally, when I realize that, a person stands a certain way on abortion, it makes my decision right there. It's not a secondary issue. It's a primary issue.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. God has the copyright on life. Abortion isn't about rights or laws. Ultimately, it's about what we believe about God. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shaw's blog at abenonshaw.com.